Psalm 1. This is the reading of God's Word. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word, that when we hear your word, let our faith grow and we will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what your Son has done and what he has accomplished for us. Through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, be with me as I preach your word, that your word will be preached correctly. And be with all of us as we hear your word. Let us hear it, let us understand it, and let us believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today we begin our study through the book of Psalms. And there are many preliminary things that we would like to look at as we begin this book of Psalms. But if we look at those things all together, then it would take as many weeks. So we will deal with them as it comes. Our goal is to look at one psalm a week, which means we cannot look at one particular psalm in detail. Our focus will be on the big picture rather than all the details of the psalm. And we are not going to look at all 150 psalms, though we will study the most of them. At least 80% of the psalms we will study. Well, as we begin, let us look at Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. I will refer to this verse often. So let us look at it and let us memorize it. Luke 24, verse 44. Now he, meaning Jesus, said to them. So this is what Jesus says. These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. All things which are written about me in the Psalms, and we are looking at Psalms. So this is the first thing we must remember. Jesus says that the Psalms are about him. And if we do not see Christ as we study Psalms, then we're doing something wrong. Because he himself says that Psalms are about him. And we don't want to argue with our Lord. And because it is about Jesus Christ, and because we are united to Jesus Christ, The Psalms are about us in Jesus Christ. Obviously. So these Psalms written very long time ago, but these Psalms are telling us about Jesus Christ and about us. The Psalms are about our eternal heavenly reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. So if you remember our church's name, Christ and Heaven, that's what Bible is all about. That's what Psalms are all about. So let us never forget that. These Psalms are about Jesus Christ. And it is about us. Now my job is to show you how then it's about Jesus Christ and it's about us. With the second psalm, the Psalm 1 is the introduction to the whole book of Psalms. And here you will meet two kinds of people and the two kinds of life, the righteous and the wicked. And the life that belongs to the righteous and the life that belongs to the wicked. The way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. And according to the Bible, there are only two. And these two are determined by their reaction to the law of God. The law of God or the word of God or the gospel. Verse 2 says the righteous, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. The righteous and the wicked are not determined according to the standard of this world. Because if we judge people by the standard of this world, then non-believers will be more righteous than us. There are some non-believers out there who will be much righteous than us. But that's not how God separates these two. He doesn't use the standards of this world. We must understand these things according to his word. The righteous, they delight in the word of God, always keeping God's word in their hearts and obeying his word. When we read Psalm 1, we see God's plan that we saw in Genesis 3, verse 15 continues. God elects his people from the Satan's seed and makes them the seed of woman and puts enmity between the two. God saves his people. Psalm 1 can be divided into three sections. Verse 1 through 3, the ways of the righteous. Verses 4 through 5, the way of the wicked. And verse 6, the conclusion. So this is pretty simple psalm. The psalm begins with the word blessed, blessed, and ends with the word perish. The author wants to show the great difference between the blessed man and the wicked man who will perish. The Hebrew word for blessed, blessed, begins with the very first alphabet in Hebrew language, and the word for perish begins with the very last alphabet in Hebrew language. And I don't think these things are coincidence. It's deliberate. The righteous is blessed man. He is the happy man. And verse 1, he does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. The counsel of the wicked the advice of the wicked, the teaching of the wicked. According to Apostle Paul, these are the elementary teachings of the world, the worldly wisdom and the worldly knowledge. And we already talked about these things in Colossians, so we move on. The righteous does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, does not walk, does not follow. The righteous does not stand in the path of the sinners, meaning does not participate in the life of sinners, does not do what the sinners do. The righteous does not sit in the seat of scoffers. Who are the scoffers? They are the mockers. They despise the very thing that the others respect. They scorn, they ridicule. The righteous does not unite with these who reject God. We see the progression then here. The verb, walk, then stand, and sit. There is a progression in the participation in the life of the wicked, the sinners, and the scoffers. First you walk, then you stand, then you sit. The righteous, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7, you shall teach them God's law diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You know, delighting in the law of God, this is not an easy thing for a sinner. Because God's law says if you commit sin, it says the wage of sin is death. So how can a sinner delight in the law of God? So this is not something that is easy for sinners to do. And yet righteous, he delights in the law of God. Romans chapter 3 verse 20b, through the law comes the knowledge of sin. The Old Testament people of God, when they were receiving God's law, they were so terrified. The righteous delights in the law of God. He has no fear of God's judgment. The righteous meditates in the law of God day and night. Day and night, meaning always. Meditate, read, and think about the Word of God always. The righteous walk in the law of God rather than the counsel of the wicked. Here the word the righteous is singular, whereas the word the wicked, the sinners, the scoffers are all plural. I believe it's deliberate again. Here we are reminded of Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad and leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So the righteous is singular, whereas sinners, scoffers, and the wicked, all plural. Verse 3, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. Our psalm describes the righteous as a healthy tree that is so fruitful. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 through 8, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. So Bible oftentimes describes righteous as a healthy tree that bears many fruits. You could see this all over the place, like Psalm 92. But they all point to the tree of life that are either side of the river in heaven. But we go to verse 4. The wicked are not so. But they are like chaff which the wind drives away. The wicked are not so. Completely two different kinds of people and two different ways of life. They're like chaff which the wind drives away. What's the picture there? They are weightless, insubstantial. They are light, worthless, no roots, thus no firmness. Hosea chapter 13, verse 3, therefore they will be like the morning cloud and like dew, which soon disappears, like chaff, which is blown away from the threshing floor, and like smoke from a chimney. In Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 2b, flying like chaff in the wind depicts receiving judgment of God. It says, the day passes like the chaff before the burning anger of the Lord comes upon you. Before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. And verse 5 says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. The wicked will not be able to stand with the righteous. Revelation chapter 22, verse 15b says, outside of heaven are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. And we come to verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. See, know. That word knowing, known, in the Bible means relationship. So Lord has relationship with the righteous. He watches over them. He cares for and he keeps them. But the way of the wicked will perish, comes out to be nothing, it means. Again, two kinds of people, two kinds of life, a healthy tree or chaff, fruitfulness or perish. Now, we went through the whole psalm very briefly, but you need to now listen very carefully, because the real message begins now. Now, according to this psalm, let me ask you a question. Are you a righteous or a wicked person? Be very honest, because righteous, it describes how he is. For one example, he meditates upon God's word day and night. Are you like that? Are you a righteous person or a wicked person according to this psalm? Don't just assume because you're a Christian, as you read these things, oh, I must be righteous. So all the blessings that connect to righteous that you say, oh, that's for me. Yes, it is for you. But you need to understand how they become yours. Because if we are very honest, then you and I must admit that blessed man in our psalm is so different from us. Because we just don't live like this. So it bothers us to read this if we're honestly reading it. Because I want to be blessed man. But I'm not like that blessed man it is described here. It's so different from us. Then are we wicked? If God tells us to be like this blessed man, are you able to do that? If God tells me to be like this blessed man, then that's not good news for me. That's not the gospel because it will grieve me because I know I cannot be like that. Can you? So today's message is look at righteous, they're blessed. So do your best to be righteous man and God will bless you and you say amen. Then what? Then you go out and what, you're going to live like this so that you will be blessed? You know you can't. And next Lord's Day you come back and you're going to tell yourself, wait a minute, and if I didn't live that righteous life, and if I live that wicked life, then I must be punished then rather than blessed. And it's not just this psalm. Read the Bible. God describes a Christian. Are you like that? Do you actually live like that? And all my message is just telling you to do your best to be like that? And you say amen and just pretend that you're going to actually do like that. Then what? That's not what Bible is about. Blessed man in our psalm is our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember Luke chapter 24? The psalm is about Jesus Christ. All the things written about me in the Psalms, he says. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, then I said, Jesus, behold, I have come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. Jesus is the only one who never walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor stood in the path of sinners, nor sat in the seat of scoffers. He's the only one. He is the only one who has always delighted in the will of God and obeyed perfectly the will of God. John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. His food is to obey his Father. Jesus Christ is the righteous man. But it seemed like when we look at Jesus Christ and his life, it seemed like someone is wrong. Because he's truly righteous, then he must be blessed. But when we read the New Testament, we see him being treated as the wicked. He, on the cross, receives the eternal judgment of God, and he perishes on the cross. So how is someone correct? Because according to some, he should be blessed. But no. He receives the judgment of God. On the cross, he perishes. Why? It's not that someone is wrong, but you know, and I do, that he is bearing our sins. On the cross, because he is bearing our sins, Jesus is forsaken and couldn't stand in the assembly of the righteous. Because he is bearing our sins on the cross, he had to die. Do you see it? He was dying in your place, dying instead of you. But thank God that he resurrects from the dead for our justification. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, in him and only in Jesus Christ, that we are now righteous in God's sight. So not only this psalm is about Christ, but it's also about you in Christ. Not apart from Christ, not just you away from Christ, but you in Christ, now this becomes your song. You could sing it as your song. Only because of Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 9, Paul says, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, not the righteousness from myself, when I obey those laws perfectly, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith." So Paul, he's righteous in God's sight, but the righteousness that he has is not from himself obeying God's law perfectly, but it's through faith that righteousness came from God. It's God's righteousness. So Paul possesses the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he's righteous in God's sight. And you are the same. You have righteousness right now. Perfect righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when God sees you, he sees a righteous person. Even though all we do is sin. See, Christianity is not telling you to be righteous because you can't. Contrary to what you might think, you cannot be righteous on your own. You know, I live more years than you, and one thing that I know as I live every year, and that is, I just cannot do it. Then, only destruction, perishing, is that only thing left for me? No, I have Jesus Christ. And I have his righteousness. So thus, in Christ, this psalm is about us. We trust Christ and him alone. We entrust ourselves to Jesus Christ. We do not walk in the counsel of wicked, but the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the wisdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not stand in the path of sinners, but Jesus Christ is the way, the path, the truth, and the life. We do not sit in the seat of scoffers, but we sit with Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. We delight in Jesus Christ, and we fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, verse 5 and verse 8, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Just like this tree in Psalm 1, you and I, because we are united to Christ as branches, as he is our tree, we bear much fruit, just like this tree in the Psalm. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. So prove to be my disciple. In Jesus Christ, you and I are his trees, firmly planted by the stream of water, which is the Holy Spirit, and bear much fruit because we are the branches that are united to the true tree, that is Jesus Christ. It is singing about you. You who are united to Christ. You who are in Christ. And God enjoys the fruits that we bear in Christ Jesus. You see, Psalm 1 is the psalm of our Lord Jesus Christ, but in him, it is also our psalm. We are in Christ, the blessed man. We are the happy man. But remember, the reality of verse 3 expresses in this world as sufferings. But that suffering is not forever. And that's the pattern of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Suffering in this world and glory in the other world. We follow the same pattern. This is why it's gospel, the good news. God does not tell you to go out and do your best to become the blessed man. Because if that is his command to us, then we have no hope. But what he's telling you is that blessed man is Jesus Christ. And you are united to Jesus Christ, thus you are blessed man in Christ. Through what he has done and through what he has accomplished, we are the blessed man. So all the blessings that is promised to that blessed man is your blessing. God's blessings for you. And you could sing this psalm as your own psalm. Because it is about you. Otherwise, then who really cares? You know, I told you, many of you, my biggest problem as I growing up in the church, I always ask, you know, I read this book, you know, Bible, and I say, so, how is it, what to, so what? How does it benefit me? I'm learning about Israelites and whatever they did, and what do you want me to do? What? Just trying my best to be like them? Or how does it truly benefit me? Unless the whole Bible is about me. And it is about me. Because it is about Christ. This is where you need to truly understand, because it's not about Israelites. It's not about, you know, this foreign land and the story that belonged to this land far away. No, it's about us. Because it's about Christ. and is telling you what Christ has done, what he has accomplished. It is not telling you to be something. Understand. And I bring this, and I will say one more time today, because you need to have this mindset as we read Psalms. God never says to you, be the light of the world. He says, you are the light of the world. It's not about you doing your best to be the light. No, God made you already the light. Oh, of course we need to live as a light. But even if you fail to live as a light, that doesn't make you not light. You are already light. And out of that faith, knowing, believing who you have become in Christ, now out of that faith, you need to live as such. This is what Christian life is all about. It's not trying your best to be anything, because you can't. You will never be by your own strength and your own ability. So when you read this kind of psalm, it sounds so foreign, because what's that got to do with me? I'm more like wicked. So it's not even like, you know, make me happy, but it's actually make me really sad, because what is coming, what I deserve, is what wicked man deserves. Then how can that make me happy? But in Christ, because of Christ, I am the blessed man. And you are too. Yes, it will take us many, many weeks to go through this. And I'm thinking already, not finishing 150, but Psalms are divided into 5 books. And I'm going to talk about these things as they come. So maybe just finish first book, then go something else, then come back. I don't know yet, okay? So, but read these Psalms before you come. And try to see Jesus Christ in those psalms. Because only way that you will see how these Bible is about you is that you see Jesus Christ in them. That's the only way. But if it is about Christ, then it's about you and me also. Otherwise, it's never about me. I'm not included. Then why am I being called to be happy when I'm not included? But we are included in Jesus Christ. And because of this, there's no boasting. I will tell you, I'm just like the wicked man in this psalm. No, actually, if you really know me, I'm worse than that. And I truly deserve the eternal punishment of hell because of my sins. And even though I'm pastor, I'm a sinner who deserves to go to hell right now. If he throws me to hell right now, what would I say? Except Jesus Christ. He saved me. His only hope. His only reason that I am able to stand before you and say, let's obey this. Because Jesus is with me and with you. Remember, glory in heaven, but suffering in this world. But Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and 18, indeed, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. My life is hidden with Christ in God, the Bible says. You do not see the true young Kim when you look at me through your physical eyes. You will never see true young Kim. Only way you're going to see true young Kim, it's just like how God sees me. In Christ. In Christ. I am righteous in God's sight. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and power. We thank you that our salvation is from the beginning to the end. Jesus Christ, what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. Yes, we must do our best to show what kind of person that Jesus has already made us to be. But Father, it's not by our works, but it's by your grace. And let us repent when we sin, but always remembering that our sins, even our sins, cannot cancel what our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. We thank you, God. Give you all the glory, honor, and power. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.